Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 2nd, and welcome to our commentary. I have a post over at the American Thinker about a project in Massachusetts, one of these alternative energy projects that they've invested a lot of money in, and they're going to have to shut it down because they're having a lot of business problems. It's a complicated story, but I think it really shows, number one, how difficult it is to do business in this market with commodity prices and interest rates and everything else, but also, frankly, how optimistic I think many people are about a transition to alternative energy. As I've said many times, I'm not opposed to renewables or other forms of energy that could very well be the future of our country and everybody else. But it has to be a transition based on logic and sensible transition. And you've got to be able to, again, get the thing running before you start depending on it. And that apparently is not going to be the case in Massachusetts this winter. So many people who were expecting to get energy from this plant or whatever it was are not going to get it. So we'll see what kind of impact it has on the people of Massachusetts. But again, you know, if you're going to go to something other than fossil fuels, you've got to be ready to make that transition. You can't just do it wishful thinking, because that's going to end up like what's happening in Massachusetts. There's a very interesting post today over at the Washington Post by a senior Democrat. I think it's a Democrat, or at least somebody associated. He's not formally a Democrat, but I mean someone we associate with the Democrat Party. And he's written a column basically saying that both Biden and Harris, meaning the president and the vice president, should step aside in 2024. And, you know, whether that happens or not, I don't know. But I think it is an indication of just how unpopular they are. Another indication is that you don't see Kamala Harris doing a lot of campaigning. You don't see President Biden doing a lot of campaigning either, because nobody wants him. And apparently nobody wants Kamala Harris either in any competitive district. I'm not talking about safe districts. And we saw that here in Texas when President Biden came and then Vice President Harris came. You know, Beto O'Rourke didn't see either one of them, did not attend their events, and he's running for governor, and he decided not to attend their appearances here in Texas. I don't know, frankly, what's going to happen with the Democrats after this election. If my prediction holds true, and that is that the Republicans have a very good day, I just don't know what's going to happen. I think a lot of Democrats are going to probably call on President Biden to at least say he's not running. And what happens to Vice President Harris, I don't know. I mean, so it's going to be very interesting, because I don't recall anything like this in recent memory, where the election not only defeats the incumbent, or where the incumbent suffers losses, I should say, in the congressional election, but at the same time has so little credibility with her own party. So it's going to be brand new territory for us to walk into after 2022. Speaking of 2022, some interesting numbers that are coming out that are just absolutely fascinating about the election. If you look at most of the polling data, it's trending in the direction of the GOP. In most cases, either the senatorial candidate is winning or he's within the margin of error. And many people are projecting real clear politics, not exactly a partisan place. Is now projecting that the Republicans will win New Hampshire. So that's 54-46 if that were to happen. Four pickups, New Hampshire, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. So that would give the Republicans 54 while they're holding on to Pennsylvania. That would be an amazing night to pick up four Senate seats. That would be a tremendous night. But that's what Real Clear Politics is now projecting, a Senate 54-46. And what's amazing about all of this, what's amazing of all of this is that you go back 2 months and that was not the case at all. You go back a couple of months. And in fact, many of these Democrats, whether it's Arizona, Georgia, and especially New Hampshire, we're leading. So I think what's happening is that the political terrain is becoming so bad for the Democrats. The economy is one of them. The presidency of Joe Biden has become toxic for most Democrats. And if you want to understand why his presidency is toxic, just listen to President Biden. He was giving a speech in Florida, and he was talking about inflation. And he said, look, inflation is an international problem. Everybody's facing that problem. Okay. So he says that. I understand why he's saying that, because, of course, inflation is hurting his approvals with the American people. And he's right to some extent. Inflation is an international problem. But then he goes on and he says, he makes a reference about the war in Iraq. And then he corrects himself and he says, no, I meant the war in Ukraine, recent, and the price of gasoline. And I said, I confused Iraq with Ukraine because my son died in Iraq. Well, his son did not die in Iraq. Now, some 4,500 American soldiers were killed in Iraq, and we honor each and every one of them. And almost 1 million soldiers, or men and women, served in Iraq, and we honor each and every one of them. But being in Iraq and dying in Iraq are two completely different things. And also, his son, I think by the time he got to Iraq, he was already an older person in his 40s or late 40s or something. He was not a soldier. He was not out there in battle, which is how most people got killed in that war. And he died. And then here's the other thing. He died after he left Iraq. He died a couple of years after of brain cancer. Now, I have no idea whether that was connected to his being in Iraq. I don't know that. But he didn't die in Iraq. And for the president to say that, you have to begin to wonder, does he believe that? Or did somebody write for him to say that? I mean, it's just outrageous. But that's the reason that he is completely disconnected from the American people. So he, you know, his presidency has become a real burden for Democrats to have to carry around. And everywhere they go, Democrats are avoiding Joe Biden. I mean, completely avoiding him. Nobody wants to talk, to mention, or to show any photograph with Joe Biden. And that's, I think, the when we talk about the political terrain and why the public is starting to move in the direction of the Republicans, it's just a rejection of the Biden. And at the forefront of that rejection of the Biden presidency are the independents, the people who voted in many ways, the people who made it possible for him to win in 2020, the independents who broke for him, I think to some extent because they didn't like, Trump or his personality, especially many women just didn't like the personality. They were okay with the result. They just didn't like the personality. And I think that many of those independents are now coming to the Republican side as a way of demonstrating their rejection of the Biden policy. So, yes, no question about it. The GOP is looking stronger and stronger as we head into the midterms. And I'm really beginning to feel that you're going to see a tsunami on Tuesday. It's not just going to be a big wave. It's going to be a tsunami. And if New Hampshire, in fact, goes Republican, then that's going to be an early sign. That in New York, if you see those two, those are going to be early signs of a tsunami in the making. By the way, speaking of Brazil, speaking of another election, it appears that the president of Brazil, Mr. Bolsonaro, has accepted his defeat and will move on. I think that's a good thing for him. That's a good thing for him because, first of all, the guy who is coming in now, Lula, who's coming in for the second time, he was president before, I think he's going to find a very difficult country to run. It was an extremely close election decided by less than a point. So, you know, Lula has a big challenge ahead of him, how to appeal to all of those people who voted against him. And it's going to be tough because he made a bunch of promises during the campaign. He's not going to be able to keep. The same thing, by the way, is happening in Colombia and in Chile, where left-center candidates were elected by just a little bit, and now they're having a lot of problems keeping their popularity because they simply cannot deliver on the promises that they made. So they made a bunch of promises. The people who voted for them are disappointed because their promises are not being kept, and then the people who didn't vote for them in the first place are simply saying, I told you so, I told you so, this guy cannot govern. And that's what's going to happen in Brazil with Lula. So I think Bolsonaro should step aside, just get out of the public for a while, and I think you're going to find that his standing with the Brazilian people is going to start increasing and going up again when people begin to make the comparison with Lula. So the polls are looking good, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for the Republicans here in the United States. A couple of quick stories. The Supreme Court said no to the House wanting to take a look at Trump's taxes, and that's a very smart move on the part of the Supreme Court. Look, you got to stop this crazy investigation of Trump. At some point, you just got to stop it. If he did something wrong, charge him. But if he didn't do anything wrong, just continually investigating. I don't think it's helping the Democrats. I don't think the January 6th committee is helping the Democrats one bit. So, but the Supreme Court was right here saying, no, no, stop this. Or, you know, we're going to, you know, we need more time to find out what exactly you want to see those tax returns about. The other question I have, I don't know if you've been following this, is what in the world is going on with North Korea? What in the world is going on with North Korea? They've been firing missiles like crazy lately. And apparently this last time around, they got South Korea a little bit excited about it. So what's going on in North Korea? I don't know, but I'd be interested in knowing. You put a pretty nasty war in the Korean Peninsula if one of those missiles goes the wrong way and hits South Korea. A couple of things on this day in history. We say happy number 80 to Stephanie Powers. For those of you who remember the girl from Uncle, that's who she was. And then, of course, there was a very popular program in the late 70s, early 80s called Heart to Heart, where she was Mrs. Hart. And there were a couple of, detectives going all over the world and having all kinds of adventures. And that was a great show. I liked it a great deal, Heart to Heart. And then, of course, the girl from Uncle back in the 60s. But Stephanie Powers is 80 years old. I don't know what she looks like now, but I bet she probably looks pretty good. And on this day in 1948, probably the most unlikely election outcome in American history, Harry Truman was running against Thomas Dewey, Truman being the incumbent president. He became president when FDR passed away in April 1945. He was very unpopular for a lot of different reasons, and he was seeking a full term as president, and all the polling data had him losing. Everybody said he was going to lose. And on election night, he won. And that turned out to be probably the biggest shocker in presidential history here in the United States. Maybe Trump in 2016 would be the second one. But I think Trump had a better chance of winning in 2016 than Truman did in 1948. And of course, there's that big picture of Harry Truman holding a newspaper saying, Dewey defeats Truman. And he was having a pretty good laugh about that, and he deserved to laugh about it because it was Truman who defeated Dewey. Thank you for watching. Everybody have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.